Hey, I'm Tom Riello, Chair of Theology at Montgomery Catholic Preparatory School.
And I'm Justin Costanza, the principal of the middle school and high school at Montgomery Catholic, and welcome to Water Cooler Catechism. Today, again, we have a very special guest, parochial vicar at Holy Spirit Parish in Montgomery, Alabama, Father Patrick Gilbreth.
Good morning, Tom. Good morning, Justin. Pleasure to be here with you, as always.
Welcome to Water Cooler Catechism, and today, lots to talk about. We are going to put words into motion to talk about silence.
It's one of these things in life, silence, that can be very awkward, that we all have to deal with because we all can't talk. You know, we're not all radio hosts and cannot, you know, off the top of our head pull things. But this idea of silence is very real. It's very raw. But as we'll hopefully find out throughout the course of the show, it's also can lead us to something greater, can lead us to an experience, a moment with God where he can speak to us when we're not speaking, where we can be spoken to. And we can listen, and this is what silence can do.
One of the things that we had talked about in show prep, folks, is we just figured we'd do 27 minutes of silence, but Ellen did not like that. The suits down at the Archangel office and said that wouldn't be good radio. But it really is one of those things that I think we're very awkward with as people, right? Because we're so accustomed to the busyness, to the noise of life. You know, my mind, whenever I hear this word silence and I think of pop culture, my mind immediately goes to Simon and Garfunkel, The Sounds of Silence, right? Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to see you again. And, the neon lights, you know, everything's flashing. And silence is very, very important for our spiritual development.
Yeah, and I guess before we get into, the meaning of silence and how we can incorporate it into our lives, I just want to give a little description of where this idea came from for the show specifically. There was an article that I read in the Magnificat, like the devotional that you can get that has all the Sunday readings, and the focus of it was on the monastery in France called the Grand Chartreuse. Now, it's a real place. It's in the Alps of France, in the mountains. It's been there since the year 1084, founded by Saint Bruno. It is a Carthusian monastery, and the Carthusians are basically, a little history lessoner, are an offshoot of the Benedictines. They were part of the reforms that Pope Urban and Pope Gregory back in around the turn of the century, the thousand century. They tried to do these reforms to try to give some life into the church, and St. Bruno founded this monastery in the mountains, and it still exists to this day. It is a very beautiful place. If you look up pictures of it, it is so pristine. It is in this valley in the middle of the most beautiful, nature scenes, and they get snow, during the winter years. So it is very picturesque. But obviously that's not, the only reason why they're there, right? Carthusians, as an order, have a charism of prayer. And this Carthusian order is probably one of the most intense because they literally live their day-to-day. They live every second of their day in silence. I think they might only get maybe an hour of community time on Sundays, right? Kind of as a reward, I guess, or just as something different. But literally what they do is they spend their day in prayer. Like monks, they work, right? They till the fields, they tend to the garden, they shovel snow, they do these tasks. Also, one of the ways that the monastery supports themselves is they brew this liqueur called chartreuse, which is actually a very good liqueur. And their whole life, as I said, is in silence. And just like thinking of that is amazing, because in our modern world today, in our world where we have phones and we have all these things to bring noise into our life, like living your life completely in silence is just unheard of, Yet here this monastery stands and has been there for 1,000 years. It's an amazing thing to think about, that silence has outlived the greatest empires that we've seen, the greatest tyrants that we've seen, the greatest wars that we've seen. Like, no matter what has happened, silence has won. So there's something very deep and real to that. And to that effect, there was actually a film that I would recommend. It's called Into Great Silence. And basically, there was this German filmmaker who came in to the Grand Chartreuse Monastery, and he filmed them. And it is a 3-hour movie where it is completely silent. So I would very much recommend it if you're interested at all in what the Carthusians do. But you watch the movie and you see these men just doing their jobs, and they're so, they're happy, they're stoic in one sense too, but you can tell that they're just fulfilled, even though they're not, by the world standards, doing much. But they're doing it in the context of silence. They're being open to the transcendent of God, and it's just a great example, I think, for us here today.
you know, really, and if you do see Into Great Silence, the dialogue is not really much to talk about, but the visual is super stunning. And hopefully what it does for our listeners is it kind of puts in perspective how the mundane of our daily can be powerful. And I think, you know, and Tom, you and I are not shy about sharing what we think, and we enjoy talking. We enjoy talking with people who share our passions. But one of the things that is hard to do in a daily life, in a daily the life of a parent, in the daily life of someone who is working full time, in the daily life of, you know, the people who are listening to Water Cooler Catechism, is to find opportunities to be silent. But it is important, and it is worth it. So, you know, I think we should just be realistic. I'm the normal one of the bunch. I've just named myself. So how can we find in normalcy opportunities to be silent and to allow that silence to work in our lives?
I think one of the things that we can do is we can cultivate a pattern and habit of prayer in our lives. Cardinal Seurat has written a recent trilogy, but the second book in the trilogy is on this theme of silence, of being silent. And silence is not merely the absence of noise. And I think that's one of the things that we get tripped up by, is silence is productive. Good things happen in silence. You know, John Paul II, in his Human Love and the Divine Plan, otherwise known as Theology of the Body, goes back to the primordial event of Adam. And Adam is without Eve. And God's, you know, God says before the fall, he says, there's something lacking. There's something not good. And what's not good? That man is alone. And John Paul says, why did the Creator do that? He said the Creator did that so that man, in the solitude that he has, can then discover his need for the other, right? And a lot of times in life, right, think of solitude compared to loneliness. Loneliness, boredom, that's despair. Solitude and silence can be real times of productive creativity where we discover our need, who we are, and what we're about. And so prayer, allowing the liturgy where you read the morning prayer or you read the readings for the day, and you allow that to enter into, you allow God to speak, if you will, into the soul. And I think that's one step that we can habituate ourselves to, this rhythm of silence in our daily lives.
And I think, too, that you kind of mentioned it, Tom, like the popular notion of silence, of being quiet, is that it's a lack, right? Like, oh, you're not speaking. If you're silent, if you try to just sit there, you know, and pray, it's like you're not doing anything. But no, I mean, there's so much more. Even in the secular world, like, people enjoy, you know, like yoga and stuff like that. I'm not promoting that, but, you know, people enjoy these instances of silence where they can reflect, you know. And obviously, there's something that's not as complete about that, because, you know, what silence really opens us up to is the fact that the God is permeating everything, that even in the still, small voice, God is there. And that's something in Scripture, right? That's kind of a very poignant story in the book of Kings. I think it's 1 Kings 19, where Elijah the prophet is trying to see God. So he goes up to the mountain to pray. And, you know, it's famously quoted that there was a storm that passed by and Elijah didn't see God in the storm. There was a tornado that passed by. There was a fire that passed by, but Elijah did not see God in the storm. But where Elijah saw God was in the still small voice and in the silence on the mountain. And I think that is a great image, and that is kind of what we're trying to place before you, that silence is where we can encounter God, who comes to us in the silence, who comes to us, you know, in these moments of reflection, in these moments of quiet and being pulled away from the ebbs and flows of the world. Like, that is where we reach God truly, and that is where we can learn to find God in our life.
And we literally go back to the nativity of our Lord. As you mentioned, this insertion of God into our lives and seeing God in the silence and seeing God in the small quiet. I mean, literally, whether it's theologically consistent and accurate enough, you know, when we think of Silent Night and we think of our Lord humbled himself and came to us in flesh and blood as a baby. And that is how God is introduced to us through human form. And in the silence of that night, great and amazing things have happened. I love the way that you, when you mention the Grand Chartreuse and we talk about those monks on the hill for over 900 years, you know, so many things have come and gone. The Holy Roman Empire, the Republic of Venice, the Dutch Navy, the British Empire, French revolutions, Napoleon, Hitler, the Soviet Union, all these things that have come and gone and still remain the silent men on a mountain. And these men, in their daily lives, find opportunities for silence. And how can we, even though we're not on a beautiful French Alp mountaintop, how can I find, you know, silence in my daily lives? And folks who are listening to Water Cooler Catechism, don't turn your radio off right now. But sometime when you're driving in your car, when you, and that's a great time, you know, Tom and I've talked about on this show too, that's a great opportunity to offer the rosary. I've got a 16-minute drive to work. I got, you know, perfect amount of time to offer a rosary. The same can be true for silence. When can we find a time to turn the radio off, turn the noise off, think about our lives? You know, I'll be honest. Again, I'm the realistic one. The most silent part of my day is in the shower every morning. It's the only time that my wife and kids are not around me. It's the only time I'm not around other people at work, hopefully. It's the only time where I literally can be together with my thoughts. And Tom, you and I love to talk about our imaginations and the things that can run wild. I have my best thinking in that room, usually in the shower. Sometimes, you never know. But we have an opportunity to embrace ourselves in a way. And frankly, I probably shouldn't take myself so seriously, but sometimes I don't give myself a chance. And when can we think, you know, to ourselves about our daily lives? And our faith is a part of that, but also just how to live our daily lives and to get rid of the junk in our lives and to push away the static and the fuzz. The silence on the mountain for these monks is powerful, and we need to infuse that in our daily lives too.
You know, one of the things that is very important for us to consider is this dimension of silence is part of the fabric of the liturgy. Let me give you an example. Habakkuk 2:20, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence. Revelation chapter 8, there was silence in heaven for half an hour. Right. So there's this liturgical silence. Every feast day of an apostle, the church reads from Psalm 19, the first part of Psalm 19. And in reference to the apostles, this is the comical irony of the church, right? The church has us read Psalm 19 where it says, the heavens declare the glory of God and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth and their words to the ends of the world. And that is talking about creation. Creation speaks, but in silence. So God's speech oftentimes is silence. And so the liturgy invites us to embrace this silence. It's not merely the absence of noise.
There was one Sunday when I first got to Holy Spirit Parish talking about you know, liturgy and the silence in liturgy like Tom was bringing up. And it was the 5:30 p.m. Saturday Mass, and our cantor couldn't be there for the day. I think he got sick like right before, so we didn't have a cantor at the Mass, and we just chose, you know, to not have hymns and just to have the prayers. And, you know, that was, in a sense, to me, it was a little refreshing, right? Not that I'm against liturgical music, but being able to just, you know, as a priest, definitely, focus on the words, on the movements, to really have these moments during the liturgy where we can stop and think, you know, where we're not searching for the next words to say necessarily, where when the altar is being prepared by the priest, you know, we can really kind of take a moment to gather our thoughts to prepare for, you know, what is about to happen. And also liturgically too, the liturgy actually has a built-in period of silence. There's a few built-in times where the you know, the norms say that, like, after the homily, there should be a period of, I think they call it grand silence maybe, or holy silence after the homily, right? So I try to, as a priest, I try to incorporate this. I always sit down after my homily. I don't go straight into the petitions or the creed, so that we have this built-in time where, at least for a little bit, like, we can reflect, we can be attentive, and we can regather, right? And I think, you know, liturgically that is a good example because, you know, obviously words have to be said, you know. And the liturgy is that, you know, there's words that have to be said. If I don't speak in the liturgy, then the Mass doesn't happen, you know. So we have to speak, but we also have to be silent, right? We have to have this balance because if we do not, you know, then we, number one, won't get anything done, but we also won't be able to see God, you know.
And Tom's got a few words that we have to speak.
Yes, absolutely. You are listening to Archangel Radio on 1410 AM and 94.5 FM, or FM translator. And if you are on the Bayway or on I-10, you are able to hear on the terrestrial radio. But for those of us in the capital of dreams, and we all are up here in the capital of dreams, we don't have that luxury. So we have to go to our app. We have to go online. We go to the YouTube channel. I love listening to Archangel Radio through my app. I have an Android device, so I use the Android version for the app, but you can use your iPhone, whatever it is. And it's a great way to actually get into your car. You plug it into your radio, and voila, you are listening to Archangel Radio. So it's just a great way to be there and to be in touch. That's one of the great things about what Archangel Radio has done. It has really shrunk the diocese. Great shows, LA Catholic Morning with Todd and Michelle and Mike, and then Archbishop Brody's show. And, you know, that kind of touches into something, Father, that you were touching on in terms of the liturgy. His Excellency, a couple of years ago, you know, gave us some directives as a diocese in a Catholic Week article that he wrote. And one of the things he talked about was, you know, after communion, you know, to respect that time. You know, we don't have to rush into, you know, singing two hymns and, you know, but to allow for a silent reception of the Eucharist. And again, to touch on this idea of silence, don't think of silence as a lack. That's the key. Don't think of it as a deprivation. See it as something productive. Because on some level, as Father touched on with the liturgy, you know, there has to be speech, right? But we are silent in a certain sense because we allow the eternal word to penetrate into us, to come into us. Because Jesus is the eternal Logos. He's the eternal Word. And so there is, again, as Pope Benedict has mentioned in his Theology of Prayer, what is prayer, says Benedict? He says, prayer is an entering into the eternal dialogue of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's not merely my words, but the liturgy is not my words. It's one of the reasons, by the way, why the Church says, look, at funerals, no eulogies. Because the word that is spoken is the word of Christ. That's the word that we want to enter into. And silence allows, if you will, it gives space, if you will, for me to enter into that word, which then comes into me and revitalizes me from within.
Yeah, and I think if we put this in context of creation, I think you started to bring this up, right? The way we were created was by God, you know, speaking us into existence, right? By God saying, I'm going to create, you know, all these levels and the earth and the sky and the trees and the plants and the animals, and he creates us, right? He kind of breathes life into us. And, you know, as we were kind of setting up these two coinciding points, right? We need words, right? We need to be able to understand, you know, very humanly, like to communicate, but we also need to be able to listen. And Tolkien, J.R.R. Tolkien, the author of The Lord of the Rings, the author of The Hobbit, in his The Silmarillion, his story of where he really dives into like the beginning of his creation. He really like sets up like his world in The Silmarillion. Like the way that he says the world was created, and this is very beautiful, by through song, right? Like the world, these beings, you know, like which are standing for God, kind of sung into creation this beautiful hymn and chorus that came together, and that is how creation was made, you know, by this beautiful chorus and these hymns, and sometimes they don't even have words, but these beautiful winds coming together, and that's how creation started, right? And I think even now, like, we have to be able to listen to that, you know? This is another thing that we look for in silence, is to be able to understand and to see and to hear more, not to see, because we're listening with our ears, but to be able to hear the winds of creation, to hear the songs of creation permeating through everything, you know? And we have to be silent to be able to do that. And that is what we do when we're silent, when we're in front of the Eucharist, or when we're at home, when we're in the shower, you know, we're trying to listen to the ways that God is working in our life and speaking to us.
And so some of, you know, in reality, again, if you're sitting here on Water Cooler Catechism, you know, so much of what we do in our daily lives revolves around the people that we take care of. And a lot of us as teachers and as parents take care of our students and our young children. One of the things I encourage parents who are listening to do is to offer an opportunity to get into nature and to be silent. Just as you both have mentioned, you know, God breathing life into the world literally can be heard in nature. And one of the things that my parents did from an early age, you know, my favorite memories growing up, all involve family. And my father was so intent on getting us into nature. And we would go hiking and camping and backpacking eventually in beautiful, beautiful places and the Smoky Mountains and Sipsey Wilderness area here in Alabama, home of the largest tree in Alabama. We would end up in the Grand Canyon and all over this beautiful country. But our favorite memories and our favorite moments are when we would get to the top of the mountain or the bottom of the canyon or the end of a hike, and we would sit, and the best thing we would say to each other was nothing, and we would listen and we would enjoy. And my dad, and I'm sure he did say it at some point, but he never had to say, listen to what God has to say to you through nature. Listen to his creation. Listen to God's voice in your life. It literally comes to life. And the silence can be deafening. The leaves rustling in the wind, the sound of water moving across rocks in a stream or a brook or a river. Those sounds to me are some of the most vivid memories I have of the outdoors. And I share them with my family. I share them with my dad and my brothers and my sister. And it really does tie, my faith is tied to those moments, and they came in silence. And so now with our youth, we do the same thing. I remember, you know, Father Patrick, we took our youth up to the Ocoee and we did a silent walk, and every one of those teenagers looked at us like we were crazy. We were going to hike to a beautiful, now it was rainy and cold. Now, of course, it was in the summertime, but it was both of those things. And we walked to a beautiful waterfall. And it's about a 25-minute walk or so, pretty flat, not crazy, nothing dangerous, on a well-marked trail. And we sent the youth, and parents, if you're listening, I apologize in advance. Yes, we did this to your kids. They were slightly unsupervised, and this is odd. But we sent them off into the woods alone, by themselves, without the ability to speak. And we sent an adult first. And then every 10 or 15 seconds, we would release the next student alone and silent to walk 25 minutes. So literally almost a mile, all by themselves. And it was uncomfortable. It is hard. You know, teens are plugged in. They're used to doing 3 and 4 and 5 different things simultaneously. They're used to working on a computer while listening to music in their ears, possibly texting and messaging, video messaging and Skyping and phone calling and FaceTiming, and not to mention the fact that they may, you know, then also be in a group of people who are all doing the same thing independently while together. Well, we put them out in the world, and they got to be, you know, their ears got to, for the first time, maybe hear the silence of God in nature. And it's super powerful. So parents who are listening, really encourage you to find an opportunity to do that. And if it's something you haven't done, do it with your kids. You don't have to send them off alone. Go with them. Just resist the urge to talk and listen, because it's not just silence. As you mentioned, we keep saying it's not the absence, but listen to the sounds that fill your ears.
A couple years ago, I got a pair of noise-canceling headphones for Christmas. A nice pair of noise-canceling headphones. And you put them on, and as they say, it cancels the noise. Like, you literally cannot hear anything. And it is still, it is quiet. And in one sense, that is what we're trying to do. When we are silent, we're trying to cancel out some of that noise, you know, that, as Justin was mentioning, that comes with all these things in a technologically savvy world, right? In a communicative world, in a world where, we can dive into the internet or dive into whatever and just be fed with things. But sometimes we got to put on those noise-canceling headphones and tune it all out, you know, and just be attentive to the silence. Just be attentive to the way that God is working in our life. And there's a beauty in that. And it is a very strong beauty, and something that is very much needed. And obviously the church kind of says this, right? And some of the bishops, of today, but also, you know, St. Bruno, getting back to Chartreuse, the monastery. Like, this is not something that's new, you know. Even in our world today, where there's a lot of noise, even back in 1,000 years ago, the church was still saying this, you know. So it's not something new, and it will not go away, because God will always speak to us in these moments of silence and these moments of stillness.
The rhythm of life, I think that's one of the things that is so important for us to be in touch with. I think because of the technological advancements, as wonderful as they can be and are, I mean, the mere fact that we're doing what we're doing right now is because of the technological advancements, there's also the danger of it. You know, the thing itself is indifferent, right? Its morality is indifferent. The technology is indifferent. It's how we use it that's going to determine, right? And because everything is at our fingertips now, we feel the tyranny to always have to be busy about something. And because of that, we wind up exhausting ourselves. Silence, and again, I want to say it, Justin just got done saying it, Father has said it, I will say it again, is not merely the absence of something. It's an embrace of something. It's an embrace of the Word. It's an embrace of allowing God to speak in that still small voice and to enter into your soul so that you now might be transformed from within.
You know, and obviously tuning in today to Water Cooler Catechism, you are you're not embracing the silence in your car or the silence in your office if you're listening on the phone, which we appreciate you doing. But Tom and Father, this is a great opportunity for us to remember ways that folks can infuse silence into their daily lives. So, you know, in our last 30 seconds of this broadcast, we want to encourage our listeners. There are even silent retreats that as adults you can participate in. The Visitation Monastery in Mobile, and I know that Holy Trinity in East Alabama offers those multiple times a year. It's one of the hardest things to do, but I encourage you, I really do, to find an opportunity to unplug, to get away, and to listen through the silence to God speaking to you in your lives, and you will be so just filled with the Holy Spirit that you couldn't wait to tune back in right here on Archangel Radio to Water Cooler Catechism.